Welcome to the C3 SYD podcast. Our heart for you is that you would know Jesus, find community, and discover purpose. To find out more about our church, head to our website at c3syd.church. We hope that this message encourages you today.
Good morning, church. Good to see you all. How good. Stay standing. We're going to pray. What a great day to be in the house. And it's about 18 years, actually, just almost 20 years. This January, just to give you a little story before we pray, my first real God encounter was at a summer camp. Been coming to youth for a little bit, and it was at a camp that my faith really got solidified, which was 17 years ago this January. And so church, it really is, I mean, 40 of those youth that went were all sponsored by you guys, and that's amazing. And so just know that the fruit of what you've just invested into is eternal and amazing, and will bear fruit for years and years to come. So thank you, church. Why don't we pray? Thank you, Lord. We love you, Jesus. We give you this time. We thank you for who you are, what you're doing. Thank you, you're the same yesterday, today, and forever, Lord. And we ask that you would speak to us this morning. You would speak a word into our hearts that would free us of some things that maybe have limited us over the years. We pray for a spirit of wisdom and revelation, Lord, that we would see you better. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Come on, let me thank the Lord one more time. Grab a seat. Good to be here. And I want to honor Pastor Kaylee Karotz. Who loves Pastor Kaylee Karotz? Amazing. I love Kaylee. Kaylee's amazing. And we're so thankful for your leadership at this location at Oxford Falls and appreciate you. And we're in a series called Roots, Shoots and Fruits. And good old start to the good start of the year message. Roots, shoots, and fruits. Anyone a gardener? Anyone like think they say they're a gardener, but you're actually kill every plant you come into contact with? Jeff Cooper, all right. There you go. I thought I could give gardening a go about 3 years ago. The house we live in, we have a little yard that we did some work on, and I wanted to set up this little kind of veggie patch herb garden area. So we got all the thing to box it in, new soil. It was looking really good. And I was like, oh, this is going to be awesome. We're going to have fresh herbs. Well, 3 years ago, it's still a patch of dirt. And so I clearly do not have the passion or the intention to garden. But what we love about gardening in that picture is actually it's a picture of God. God's a gardener. Did you know that? And so God's heart and his prayer and his intention and design is that we would be fruitful, we'd be flourishing, that we'd feel a sense of wholeness and sense of fruit, and things are healthy and good mentally, emotionally, physically. There's a sense of life and fruit and nourishment. And so that's really what we're talking about this month. It was talking about getting healthy, having healthy things in our life that are going to bring fruitfulness and flourishing to our world. And so roots, shoots, and fruits, that's what we're talking. Roots, shoots, and flutes. Fruit Loops. I love it. Anyone play the flute? No. All right. Won't go there. But it's interesting scripture. But really what we're talking about, interesting series, what we're talking about is not just the things on top of the surface, but the things beneath the surface. The things that are unseen, the things that are hidden and are actually the things that are bring the fruitfulness on top of the surface. Setting up foundations for a fruitful year. And this week we're actually talking about the root of prayer. The root of prayer. And if you're visiting here, you might go, cool, I know a bit about prayer. You go to a church, you pray. That's kind of, we all have different, and we've grown up with different understandings of what prayer is or what prayer can look like. Or maybe you're a bit unsure, like, what is prayer? It's such an enigma. Like, I don't even know what prayer is. Really, if I was to boil it down and simplify it for you, prayer is a connection and a relationship with God. It is a two-way interaction between the Creator and the created. And our prayer is that you wouldn't limit it beyond that, because the moment we limit prayer to a certain style or way, we're actually limiting all the different ways we can relate and connect with our Father. And as I, in December, as I started preparing for this message and pondering this series, and straight away I felt led to this scripture in Job. Job's the oldest book written in the Bible, and Job goes through a whole series of trials. And this is really interesting scripture in Job 14 and verse 8. It says this. He's talking about a tree. And it says, its roots may grow old in the ground and its stump may die in the soil, yet at the scent of water, it will bud and put forth shoots like a plant. And I thought, what an encouraging scripture. Talking about prayer, maybe you're feeling a little disconnected, a little dry, things have withered a bit, but yet at the scent of water, just one scent, one glimpse of fresh water, and things can come back to life. And I thought, God, that's awesome. That's a good message. That's a good scripture. Only to realize, as I read this scripture slightly in more context, that's actually not what's happening at all. It's good to read things in context. Job's actually realizing, he's actually taken a moment, he's very depressed, his friends are not being helpful, and he just starts to compare the hope that a tree has compared to the hopelessness that he has. He say, and I'll read it in context here, and from verse 7, it says, at least there is hope for a tree. That's how he starts. If it is cut down, it will sprout again, and its new shoots will not fail. Its roots will grow old in the ground. There's the scripture we just read. It goes on to say, but a man dies and is laid low. He breathes his last and is no more. As the water of the lake dries up and becomes a riverbed, or the riverbed becomes parched and dry, so he lies down and does not rise. Till the heavens are no more, people will not awake or be roused from their sleep. Slightly different tone, isn't it? But as I thought about this, I realized that Job was actually tapping into something without realizing it. He was speaking and he was actually using language, prophetic language, that was actually foreshadowing what Jesus would do for us. Without realizing it, he was using language that was painting a picture of redemption. Luckily, there was a prophet who did see this full picture. His name was Isaiah. And Isaiah 11 says this, a shoot will come up from the stump of Jesse. From its roots, a branch will bear fruit. The Spirit of the Lord will rest on him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and of might, the Spirit of the knowledge and fear of the Lord. You see, Job was right in that we in and of ourselves have little hope, have no hope in our own strength, in our own efforts to find new life, to find resurrection power, to find breakthrough, and that life, that eternal nourishment that we're all searching and looking for. Job was right that actually compared to a tree, you're right, we actually are hopeless. But he missed the full picture in what was actually happening. Isaiah saw Christ, a man who did die, but not without hope. And like the tree that was able to dig a new root system and find new life, so Jesus, his roots went down deep and found eternal life, and he was brought back to life. Out of the old stump of the law, grace was birthed. I'm sure most of us, like Sawney did ask, and we're too afraid to put our hands up, most of us, whether it's this year or in years gone by, have made a New Year's resolution to have a better prayer life. Anybody brave enough to say, you know what, inside, whether I admit it or not, I want a better prayer life. I want to go deeper. I want to grow closer. I want it to be better. It's fledgling. It's dry. It's a little disconnected. It's a little disoriented. I want a better prayer life. But how often do we make those kind of resolutions and then just week goes by, year goes by, and it never quite happens. It always drifts. It always gets neglected and falls to the wayside. My sense, and what I want to speak about this morning, is that maybe we're just approaching it a little wrong. Maybe we're approaching it from the wrong angle. In John 15, verse 1, it says this, Jesus speaking, and he says, I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes so they will be even more fruitful. You are already clean because of the word I have spoken to you. Remain in me as I also remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. Get this bit. I am the vine. You are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. It's interesting, you know, the Bible encourages us in a lot of different ways to put our roots down. But I found as I look through those scriptures that talk about putting roots down, mainly it's in the context of relationships. Like put your roots down in the house of God, be planted in the house, be planted in the courts of our God, be planted, there are other scriptures that talk about being planted in our community, be planted in the city that you're in, be planted in the society you're a part of, be a blessing to it, bring fruitfulness to it. But actually when it talks about prayer and communion with Christ and our devotion to Him, it doesn't. There's a distinction. And this is the difference. When it comes to our communion with Christ, we are not the root, He is. He is the vine, we are the branches. So when it comes, there is a root to prayer, but it is not our root. There is a root system that undergirds our communion with Christ, but it is not our root system. The root of prayer is the root of Christ. And we have access and relationship to that root system that we can stand on. And so our relationship with Him isn't built on our own works, but we're trying to find just a scent of water. It's like we're feeling dry and we're like, oh, I'm just going to put my roots down again. I'm going to search for that scent of water and I'm going to hopefully get some new life this year. Can I tell you, that's not the way. Because that's like a picture of our own religious effort trying to gain grace, trying to gain communion, trying to gain access. What we stand on is not our own root system, it's the root system that Jesus Christ established 2,000 years ago. Amen? We have access to Him based on His standing and not ours, His root system and not ours. This is really interesting scripture in Revelation 22. One of the last things Jesus is recorded saying by John, this is post-resurrection and John gets a glimpse of Jesus, this beautiful revelation. And one of the last things Jesus is recorded saying in scripture says this, in Revelation 22:16 says, I, Jesus, have sent my angel to give you this testimony for the churches. I am the root and the offspring of David, the bright morning star. Of all the things Jesus could say, I am the root. I am the source. I am your supplier. I am your provider. I am your source of nourishment. And so my prayer for your prayer life and my prayer life this year is that we would take the pressure off going deeper. That we would not make that the resolution. Oh, I'm just going to go deep. I'm just going to try and dig deeper. I'm just trying to do more. I'm trying to get better. I'm trying to be better in prayer. That's my prayer. And that we would focus more on remaining in the root system that already exists in Christ. We often try to quantify our prayer life, don't we? And try to establish that root system by ourselves into the supernatural, which is both impossible and unnecessary. Because Jesus has already done it. And so my feeling is if you're disconnected, my encouragement would be you don't need to start from scratch. You're not this tiny little seed that's been planted in the soil of eternity and you just need to kind of work your way in the dark, kind of dig your way through the dirt until you might get a slither of grace. You might get a slither of Jesus if you're lucky. And sometimes we feel like that with our spiritual life. We're just kind of like in this mountain of dirt, like, Lord, where are you? Can I tell you, that's not Christianity. That's another religion that says you have to earn it. You have to search for it. And maybe you just might get a glimpse of the divine. That's not God. I'll tell you what God is. The moment we are connected to the vine, we receive the same root system as Jesus. We receive the same root system as every other believer on the planet. Can I tell you, the gospel isn't fair. Whether you've been here for 50 years or 50 minutes, the moment you're connected to the vine, you receive the root system of Jesus Christ Himself. It's not based on how deep you can get. It's how connected you are to the vine. We are grafted in by grace and our connection is continuous. 2023 isn't about striving for that scent of water. It's about relying on the roots already dug in Christ. Tapping into the endless source that is the true vine. I tell you, one of the reasons I love Kayla Crotts, I'm just going to pick on you, but when I was growing up in youth, she was one of my first youth leaders. And I still remember a message she preached years and years ago called The True Vine. And she made this important distinction that if there is a true vine, there must also be a false vine. I love that thought. And as I came to mind as I was preparing, and I realized that, you know, there are a lot of false vines, but the vine that we tap into most, that we are most guilty of tapping into, is our own works. The false vine we try and get to God with is our own effort and striving. And so my question is, as we close out our time, is how do we build a prayer life upon the root system of Christ rather than the root system of our own dead religious works? How do we actually do that? Well, I'm glad you asked. The disciples asked the same question. And they came to Jesus and they're like, hey, we noticed, you know, things are happening. Things are pretty fruitful for you. Things are flourishing, it seems. Ministry's going well. How do you pray? We've noticed there's a link there. And Jesus said this. He said in Matthew 6, then this is how you should pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread and forgive us our debts as we forgive those who have trespassed against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Beautiful, right? Known globally, known throughout history, through every denomination as the Lord's Prayer. This is the model, when asked, that Jesus gave us. But you know what I find a little fascinating is that all through the Gospels, Jesus is recorded many times praying. He's never actually ever recorded praying this prayer. I don't know if you've ever noticed that. Like they asked him how to pray, and this is how he told them they should pray. Yeah, but when he's seen praying, he's never seen praying that prayer. I don't know. That seems interesting to me. And so I think we need to synergize the model Jesus gave us with what he modeled. How do they connect? What he's told us to do and what he showed us to do. And so my feeling is that maybe we've called it a little wrong, and it's not so much the Lord's Prayer as it is the Lord's posture. This is the Lord's posture in prayer. This is how he's calling us to posture ourselves in the vine. See, a prayer life that remains in the vine is less about discipline and more about disposition. And I found that, and hear me very right, it's not the discipline is wrong at all. It's super vital, actually. We need practice and place and context and rhythm and habit and discipline, really important to a sustainable prayer life. But if that is all it is, and it lacks that sense of disposition, it lacks that sense of posture, it will never be sustainable, and it will be a duty more than a delight. Otherwise, prayer becomes at best transactional or at worst superstitious. And so I'm going to give you four postures of prayer to remain in the vine. Cool? First one, the posture of place. The prayer starts with our Father. Our Father. We posture ourselves within the family of God. Notice this is not just a father-child relationship. This is a brother-sister, brother-brother, sister-sister. This is a sibling connection. Our Father. And so when we approach the vine, when we remain in the vine, we're positioning ourselves with a sense of placement, belonging, and security. We pray from a sense of security. And this posture is the cornerstone posture of our prayer because it defines the nature of our connection to God. This is not a master-servant connection, primarily. This is not a boss-employee connection. This is a father-child relationship. And so we start our prayer life, we start our connection with a posture of we are in family. We are connected in love, that this is not a fear-based relationship. This is not a transactional relationship. This is a beautiful, organic, dynamic, love-based relationship. The second posture, amen, is the posture of praise. Hallowed be your name. Hallowed be your name. We posture ourselves in a way that puts his name above every other name. This posture helps realign and reorient our perspective of things and places the Lord as Lord of our hearts again. The third posture is a posture of purpose. It goes on and says, give us this day. It goes on to say, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And so we posture ourselves around his priorities, that our concerns are more about others and the world than ourselves. And this helps us live mission-minded. And then the final posture is a posture of peace. If I can grab the band back up, that'd be great. The rest of the band. Thanks, Jess. A posture of peace. The prayer finishes with these few lines where it says, give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who have sinned against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. This is a posture of peace where we settle in our hearts with a revelation and awareness that he is both our provider and our protector. We know that he clothes the lilies in the field. He feeds the birds in the sky. That we don't need to worry about that. And this posture prevents us from falling into a trap of fear and worry. We posture ourselves in peace. Right now, what I want to do, we're going to do a posture shift. We're going to shift our posture towards prayer for this year. And maybe if you look at those two trees, there's that one tree that's Christ, and it's the life and the depth and the breadth of this beautiful, dynamic, victorious root system that's pulling on the deepest parts of the kingdom of God. And then there's maybe this tree that you've tried to establish in your own strength, and the roots are just on the tip of the surface, and you've tried, but that's not you. He is the vine. We are the branches. The best way we can posture ourselves is not to dig our own well, but to take advantage and to be grafted into the well of Christ. Why don't you close your eyes right now? In Jesus' name. Lord, I thank you, Father. You're shifting our posture. Maybe you felt disconnected. Maybe you've been like that tree trying to locate God, trying to search in the darkness and try to find a slither of heaven, a slither of grace, of redemption. I want to encourage you, your search today is over. There's a root system already established and waiting for you to be connected into. God is wanting to graft you into the true vine and give you access to an eternal root system. Maybe you were once grafted in, or you felt like that's been severed, that connection's been lost. Today, you don't need to start from scratch and build from the beginning. The moment you reconnect, you have that full access into Christ again. If you're here with every eye closed, every head bowed, and you're saying, Mitch, this start of this year, I wanna reconnect. I wanna find the fullness and the depth that you've provided, not on my own strength and not out of duty, but out of delight. With no one looking around, just slip your hand up and say, that's me. I wanna be regrafted. I wanna be reconnected to the true vine. If you're here saying that, awesome. Anybody else, lift your hand up. Thank you. Anybody else? Just lift your hand and say, yeah, that's me. I want to be reconnected. I'm sick of striving. Awesome. I'm sick of doing it in my own strength. God, I constantly get let down. I want to do it. I want to go deeper. Awesome. I want more of God, but I'm fumbling through the dark. You don't have to. You remain in the vine, postured towards him. Awesome. Anybody else? Anybody else before we finish? This year is going to be different for you, and it's not because of anything you will do. It's because of you leaning on what he has done, in Jesus' name. Beautiful. Why don't we stand to our feet right now, all together? Let's stand to our feet. We're going to pray this prayer. If you lifted your hand in particular, or if you are wanting to, let's pray this prayer right now as a family, right now. Dear Jesus, we thank you for free access, a clear pathway into your grace. I die to myself, to my effort and my works, and I rely on what you have done for me. Today, I'm grafted in to your life, to your roots, in Jesus' name. in Jesus' name. Come on, why don't we thank the Lord right now? Why don't we give God a hand?
Thank you for listening to the C3 SYD podcast. To make sure you don't miss out on our next podcast, click subscribe. If you want to find out more about following Jesus, get connected, or find a C3 SYD location near you, head to c3syd.church/connect-with-us. Don't forget, you can find us on YouTube and Instagram at c3.syd. We look forward to having you back soon.